Good evening.
Good evening.
Zen is a living spiritual practice. Constantly alive. Because it is grounded in our everyday activities. It's not just about scriptures and or about philosophy, and it's not about miracles. And the practice is not about somebody else's words. Those things are not in our personal in our everyday personal experiences. Zen practice is our spirituality unfolding continuously in this moment, in the immediate moment. So our own experience is the foundation of our practice. But it also includes our determination. Or our attitude. Our practice has to include our determination to take responsibility for what we learn in our experience. So we begin with awareness or mindfulness so that we don't let our experiences slip away. But sometimes we need to get hit over the head. I'll try to explain. The experience, of course, is the easy part. They happen to us. We just pay attention to what goes on, to what happens, to what we experience. We pay attention. And so our practice includes that when we, through our awareness, we experience a difficulty or we have a question, we then determine what it is we do with that. The next step is to take responsibility for doing that. And that, of course, is the hard part. Instead of responsibility, I think a better word is accountability. Accountability. They're often used interchangeably, but I feel that responsibility is something that someone assigns to you. Your boss, or if you're a child, your parent. Your responsibility is to clean your room. Your boss, your parent. If you're in the military, it's your commander. That's your responsibility. Responsibility is assigned to us by some individual or maybe the whole society. We're all responsible for obeying the traffic lights. Collectively, we are responsible. Society gives us that responsibility. And so responsibility always carries with it some kind of moral tone or maybe some guilt. You didn't do it. You have to feel bad. Responsibility, I think, implies some kind of possibility of punishment or judgment if we don't take care of this responsibility. Accountability is bigger. Accountability is larger. Accountability includes a very wide world view. And it is a trust, a covenant, not just to another person, or an organization, or a group. It's a trust, large trust, Responsibility is limited to a task, something that you must do. Accountability is more like an attitude that we carry with us. And Suzuki Roshi told a story about an experience he had when he was a young monk living with his teacher in the temple. It was his job to bring his teacher a cup of tea in the morning. And the teacher's room was separated from the you get into the teacher's room by sliding a screen. And you may know in Japanese architecture there are two screens. One can go this way and the other can go this way. So either way, you can go in. And the practice was he would bring the tea and open up the screen on the right side, put the tea in and close the screen and go away. That's what he did for long time. And one morning, he slid the door, a screen door, surprised to see another person there, a visitor, some guest. And he was scolded by his teacher. You don't open the door on the side where the guest is. There's a guest there. You don't open the door. Didn't you see the guest? And he was scolded very severely by his teacher because he had opened the door on the, you know, on that morning it was the wrong side. Usually that's the right way, but on that morning it was the wrong side because there was somebody there. Usually that was the correct side, but that morning it was the wrong side. Well, in the story that he told, Suzuki Roshi was not told why he was being scolded. All he heard was, "Don't open that door," something like that. He wasn't told why. "Don't open that door." So he had to figure out for himself why that was the wrong door that morning. He had to figure it out. He said, Oh, I see. Because there was a guest. I didn't pay attention. There was a guest there. And so he learned something. He taught himself something by thinking it through and considering. And the lecture that Suzuki Roshi told about that incident was about the need to find out for ourselves how to do something right, you know, correctly. Find out for ourselves how to do something correctly. And this finding out is a vital part of our practice. Being instructed by others or asking for instruction is this kind of a convenience. You know, in this case, the teacher did not say to him, "Oh, you know, tomorrow morning there's going to be a guest there, so don't put the tea." He wouldn't have learned anything. Teacher didn't say anything, and Suzuki Roshi was surprised by this guest, and he got scolded, and he learned from it. So being instructed by others or asking others for help as a convenience, it doesn't help with our practice. It doesn't help. So, in our practice, we don't ask, please tell me my responsibility. What should I do? Tell me what job to do. What's my responsibility? Instead, our practice is to simply be aware, to pay attention, and to feel accountable for taking care of things. This is part of our practice. Part of our practice of being accountable is to stay aware of what's going on and to do things in a way that fits. I'll tell you a personal story from my own experience. Probably the most embarrassing moment of my life, the most shameful moment of my life. When I was working, I had started working, I worked for IBM, and I had started working in the sales office as a systems person. And late one afternoon, kind of late one afternoon, the manager comes to me and he says, "Our customer up in South San Francisco is having problem with his accounting report isn't coming out right." So go up there and see what you can do. So in those days, we didn't have so many programs. There was some machines, electromechanical machines. We called them accounting machines. They processed cards and things, and they produced reports. So go up there and see what's going on with the machine. Maybe it isn't wired right. So I went there. And I saw the error in the reports. It wasn't coming out right. And I looked at the machine. It had these big boards. They looked like old telephone plug things. Remember before when we used to have telephones? Switchboard. They looked like that. A bunch of holes with wires that went in, and you ran the wire from here to there. And all the logic, which is now in code, it was in those days ran between the way you put the wires in. This is a long time ago. So I looked at the board, lots of wires, and spent some time. And I said, oh, I see, I get it. Change the wire. And I wanted to get home. I was impatient, I was tired. It was about 7 o'clock or so at night. I wanted to get home. Says, "Oh, that's it, I got it. Change it." Put the thing back and left. So I got a call late at night. "The reports are worse than ever." Get up there. Now it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Boy, was I embarrassed. Was I ashamed. I had not tested my solution. So, "Oh, that's it. Go." I hadn't tested it. It's pretty arrogant. Sloppy and arrogant. Impatient. So I went back and looked at that board again and said, "Okay, I see. Change it." And now I spent some time testing. And so the reports came out right. I fixed the problem, but I drove home feeling so awful. I'm embarrassed. My company is embarrassed. I have a bad reputation with that customer. I have a bad reputation with my boss. The whole thing was a total disaster. The problem was, I started looking at what happened. I started looking at myself, look at my behavior, my habits, everything. When I went to solve that problem with the board, I wasn't really personally involved. I just wanted to get it out of the way. The problem was I kept it at arm's length. You know, I wasn't personally involved. I knew what I had to do. Stay there and test it. I knew what I had to do, but I didn't want to. I made believe I didn't have to. I tricked my mind tricked itself. "You don't really have to. It's fine. Go home." I figured I could get away with it. That's the way I was in those days. I didn't get away with it. And I realized, after living with this shameful experience, after living with it for a while, I finally realized I didn't get it right because I did not feel accountable. I did not feel accountable for the quality of my work. That's terrible. It was not a major business problem. Okay, the report was a little late, it got fixed. I was embarrassed, I felt terrible. But this whole situation was what we say is a teacher. Because it did cause me to say, well, look at your own attitude. What are you doing? How are you living your life? That experience and the pain of it helped me to realize that it is really necessary to hold ourselves accountable for the activities of our life. We have to hold ourselves accountable, not rely on someone else to show us the right way to do things, but instead to start with an understanding of a situation, to pay attention to what's needed and do what is necessary, even though we feel we'd rather be doing something else. So our spiritual practice, Zen practice, is to be self-accountable. Self-accountable. Even when no one seems to be holding us accountable, even when we won't get caught or scolded if we make a mistake, we don't let the threat of being caught or scolded be the determining factor. The determining factor is being self-accountable. Any one of us can do what's right if we're told what to do or if somebody else checks on our work. Anybody can get it right that way. Or maybe we fear the threat of somebody sanctioning us, or maybe we fear we'll be embarrassed. If those things are in the back of our mind, we generally will get things right. But doing things that way, we learn nothing. We're just getting by. It's like we're programmed. Being self-accountable, without any pressure from somebody else or some other group, being self-accountable is the best way to build our character. Sometimes we have an experience with some friends or some relatives or some acquaintances where somebody will say to us that they will do something for us, and then they don't do it. Anybody ever experienced that? Somebody says they will do something and, oops, they didn't do it. They don't do it because they don't feel self-accountable. They don't do it because they feel, oh, I can get away with it. She won't mind. Or even if she does, so what? I can get away with it. Nobody's watching me. And we experience people who do that. That is a very foolish way to live life. To have that very casual feeling about the things we say, the things we know we should do. To be very casual about it. It's what separates us from each other, and it's how we create karma in our own life. So our practice is about doing what is best for everyone. Not for ourselves, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. Whether or not we are being held responsible by others, our practice is to be self-accountable. To pay attention so that we can see what there is to do and do it without fuss. Do it without saying anything. Our practice here at Kanado is very informal. We're not strict. We're not very strict. Nobody tells anybody what to do. And if somebody does make a mistake, there's no scolding. If somebody forgets to do something, there's no fuss. If somebody says they will do something and doesn't do it, there's no fuss. So even though we may not do what we said we would do, there is no scolding. Because the spirit here is that we place trust in our own self-accountability. And we place our trust in everybody else's self-accountability. And we trust that we will all learn from our experience and have the determination to follow through. Now, this approach, this non-scolding approach, this very indeterminate approach and relying on self-accountability, non-directive, I guess you'd call it, this is not what most newcomers here expect. They hope to be told what to do. They want to be told what to do. They want to be corrected when they don't do it right. They figure that's the best way to learn. But that's not the best way. That is the easy way. It's up to us to learn to be self-accountable. It's up to each of us to practice. This place provides many opportunities to develop that view, that attitude. Frequently we announce opportunities. Sometimes they are not announced, but they are always in plain sight. These opportunities. And the world provides us opportunities to be self-accountable. So we take our practice into our everyday life by paying attention, by staying aware, and recognizing what there is to do. So our attitude should be that we make a covenant with our life, which is the same as a bodhisattva vow. Bodhisattva vow is will free everyone from suffering. I will not create suffering. Being self-accountable is modern day equivalent. I will pay attention and recognize what there is to do, and I will follow through. Bodhisattva vow, in modern terms. This is the best way to practice in our life, and this is the most direct way to have happy life. Does anyone have a question? Carolina.
It reminds me of the quote that the measure of a person's character is what they'll do when no one's watching.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. Thank you.
Something came up. There was a person who hasn't sat here very long that wears robes, and she wore her robe into the bathroom. And I remember that it took me 10 years of wearing my robe into the bathroom till you told me not to wear the robe into the bathroom. But I told this person, hey, don't wear your bare head to the bathroom. Should I have waited for her to figure it out?
No, you did the right thing in that case. In the monastery, where everybody does the same thing uniformly, it's easy to tell. It's very easy to notice that these guys don't wear their robe in the bathroom. If you're a newcomer in the monastery, the first thing you see is they're taking off their robe. But here, what you experience as a newcomer is people going into the bathroom with their clothes, you know. And so it's easy to assume that if you have robes, it's probably okay. So in that case, you know, you have to say, well, she probably doesn't know. I'll do her a favor by telling her. So in that case, that was fine. So we have to take into account our situation. We learn, in the monastery, they learn a certain way, and here we learn maybe a little different way. You know, so we say something like, well, you know, our practice is not to wear the robe in the bathroom. So I think that was the right thing to do. Thank you. Oh, yes, please.
So in my everyday life, I have these encounters with people, and maybe in business or in the family or something, and often people say, I'll do something and it matters important to me, and they don't do it. And I feel disappointed, but what would you say is the appropriate response?
Depends. Depends on the personalities involved and their histories and the situation. Sometimes you'll remind them. Sometimes you will forget it and take care of it yourself. Sometimes you may ask a third person. It just depends. Thank you. Yes, please.
Do you think it's safe to say that it's just as important to be accountable to yourself as it is to hold others accountable when you see that they're not?
No, yes. More important to be accountable to ourselves. Thank you. Yes, Scott.
What do you recommend when there's, you can see more to do than you can do?
Make a list? going along with that, I recommend it. Don't overdo it. Don't make yourself crazy. There's too much of that going around. Sometimes, you know, we have to make ourselves crazy because everything is immediate, vital. We just have to go crazy. But if you have a little bit of choice, it's really important that we put some space in our life so we can see. If it's too crowded with responsibilities, we won't be able to observe and see and sense what we're doing. So we need to make some space. So make a list and then draw the line. Or take it tomorrow. Thank you. Yes, Anna?
In your personal story, how did you get past the feeling of shame?
I never did. But time helps. Well, when you get to a point of saying, okay, move on. That's enough grief about that. Move on. Thank you. Yes, Rich.
Well, from your story, it sounds like you did the right thing. You followed through. You went back midnight, 1 a.m. and finished up. So that seemed like a good follow through to me.
Well, I was told to go back. You know, I can't take credit.
So I have one little anecdote to share and a question. I have a subcontractor. And he's hard to manage. And I call Santiago, are you coming here tomorrow to the job? I think maybe yes. Richard, I think maybe yes. That's the best I can get from him. He might show up, you know? Mm. And I get frustrated with him sometimes, but he's very good at sheetrock and tape and tech. He's good at matching textures. So when he does show up, I try to work with him because he's good-natured and he does nice work. It's just, it's the nature of, it's hard to explain this guy, but I don't want to just let him go. I think he just gets busy and he has a hard time managing several jobs, so... Anyway, my question is more about, you mentioned we learn from our experience and from our determination. And when we have like external obligations or accountability to work, clients, or traffic signals, that's usually pretty clear what to do. But what I have trouble with is like accountability of myself, like internal kind of like, you know, diet or exercise or just schedule. Just with other people it's pretty clear, but with myself I get lost. Like it's, where does the determination come from internally? It's an odd question. What is the nature of our motivation?
Do you mean that you make a promise to yourself, but you have a hard time keeping?
Not only that, I have a hard time, like, determining, like, you know, it's, everything's kind of fuzzy. It's hard to create structure for myself.
Oh.
It's easy to work with external structures, other people, but...
Is that a problem for you?
Yeah, I think it is. It interferes with my ability to do more and enjoy more.
Okay, you think it is?
Seems like it is.
Seems like it is.
It is.
So.
Definitely is.
And that, what's the subcontractor's name?
Santiago. I don't want to tell you his last name.
Don't. That's the way he is. Or maybe.
What?
That's what, the way he is. Or maybe, he says. And you see what trouble that is. How difficult it is to manage. You say to manage him is difficult because he's saying, well, maybe I will, oh, let's see. It's difficult to manage, you say.
Yeah.
And so if when we have that kind of attitude, it's hard to manage even ourselves. If we tell ourselves, well, maybe, it seems, you have to say, I do it. That, stop right there, I do it. But if you say maybe, or if you say whatever, which is probably the worst word in the English language, whatever. If you say, I'm going to do it, I'm not going to say maybe. I'm going to be certain about my intention to do things. You can ask him to do that. When he says, oh, Richard, maybe I'll come tomorrow. You see, could you be a little bit more certain? Or help me by being more certain, or something like that. So take the whatever out. My wife and I asked somebody to join us for dinner. Email. The answer came back. Maybe I could possibly do that, yes. The yes carried with it the habit of, maybe I can weasel out of this at the last minute, so I'll say maybe. But it was maybe, possibly, yes. Okay, and it went fine. But... there was that habit. That's funny. So when we can say yes, we shouldn't say maybe. No, that's enough of that.
I might try that.
And we may be interested in hearing the results. Thank you. Yes, please.
Yes, thank you for your talk. It really resonates with me. And I wanted to ask you about how are you self-accountable and kind to yourself at the same time?
Oh, self-accountable
and kind.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. When we are not self-accountable, we really are being unkind to ourselves. It looks like being self-accountable is being very tough on ourselves, but actually it's being kind, because it gives us confidence and we know what we're doing, and we don't have to rely on anybody to tell us what to do. That's a great kindness. It's a great gift. So it's the same thing. Thank you. Yes, Bonnie.
This is a very small thing, but between the sliding door and Carolina's story of the robe in the bathroom, I have a kind of etiquette question about tea ceremony. So I noticed, you know, I've been serving tea at Sashin for a few times, and you always put the napkin in your sleeve. And then the last time, you crumpled it and put it in the cup, and I was wondering if that was because people weren't knowing what to do with their napkins and not noticing, and you thought, well, maybe let me give them something easier to do.
Oh.
or if there was an etiquette around that.
Well, at the end of tea, if the napkin is still clean, we put it in our sleeve because maybe it's useful later. Maybe we can use it later. But if we've had a piece of fruit and it had a seed and we wrap up the peach pit in it, then we don't put it in your sleeve. Then you have to give it back.
<Thank you. Yeah. laughs>